Blog Talk Radio.
If it's smooth jazz, then the Jazz Queen and Mike Reynolds are talking about it on Talking Smooth Jazz, your place for all things smooth. Artist.
Hello, Brian. Welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Hello there.
Boney James, welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Thanks so much. It's great to be with you guys.
Layla, thank you so much for coming onto the show.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Music.
This is the Jazz Queen with the Smooth Jazz News Minute.
With the smoothest show on internet radio, your host, the Jazz Queen and Mike Reynolds.
Hello, this is the Jazz Queen, a.k.a. Terry. Welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz and happy holidays. Merry Christmas to everyone. Hope you all are having a great day. Mike, how are you?
I'm doing great today, Terry. How are you doing today?
All right. Dee and Audley, this is my co-host, Mike Reynolds.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys, how's it going? Okay.
All right.
Hey, Mike, how's it going today?
Feeling fine, brothers. Feeling fine.
All right. He's probably sitting in front of the TV watching the football game.
Oh, wow.
I have to go through this every Sunday with him. He's a football fanatic, you know, so what can I say? All right, let me introduce our guests. Our guests today are New Groove recording artist and guitarist Dee Brown with a new CD called A Little Elbow Room and his manager, Audley Reed. So Dee and Audley, welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Oh, thanks, Terry, for having us.
Thank now, Dee, where are you?
I'm in Michigan, Detroit, Michigan.
Okay, and Audley, where are you?
I'm in Chicago, Illinois.
All right. A manager, managing an artist in a different state. That's an interesting, that's very interesting. We'll have to ask you about that one.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So, Dee, congratulations on the new CD.
Oh, thank you so very much.
Yeah, tell us about it.
Okay. Well, the title is called A Little Elbow Room, and many people always ask the question, how did I come up with that title and where does the title come from? And that was a big question, a huge question that was asked from the record company, New Groove. They wanted to know, well, what is Elbow Room? Is Elbow Room a place? Is it a nightclub? Is it somewhere you can go? Is it a place or state you're in? And I told them, no, a little elbow room or elbow room actually means the room to move freely. So when I say a little elbow room, that means that I feel that because this is my sophomore record and because of the success of the very first CD which I put out, which was called No Time to Wait, I thought that with this new record and with all the hard work that we put in, I felt that we had a little elbow room. So that's where the title comes from. Now, on this CD, I had the pleasure of working with three wonderful producers, writers, and arrangers. Chip Dixon, who is a Detroiter, he worked with William Murphy. He worked with Sean Combs and Darkshire Rodney Jurgensen. Also, another Detroiter by the name of Valdez Brantley. He's a producer, keyboard player, songwriter, and just a wonderful person. He's also been music director for like Mary J. Blige, Teddy Riley, New Kids on the Block. He also worked with Sean Combs, and right now he's the music director for Usher.
Okay.
I had my label mate, Mr. Nate Harrison. He's a keyboard player, songwriter, arranger. He has several CDs out right now. He has a group called Denate, which Darren Ron, also Deborah Connors, is a part of. And he's worked with people like Jay Soto, Nick Collione, of course, Darren Ron, and also Norman Brown.
Mm-hmm.
So these are some of the producers, and I really enjoyed working with each and every producer. They brought different things to the table, and I think with all these wonderful musicians and the great vibe, I think we came up with something that was very interesting.
Okay.
Yes.
Now,
I
want to ask you, real fast. The first CD release, No Time to Waste, you released that on your own record label, and then you had it distributed through New Groove.
That sounds very simple, but it wasn't quite that simple.
Okay.
what actually happened was we put together a record label, which is called Day Love Records, and the first project that we had was, of course, No Time to Waste. What I really wanted to do is I felt that this project really deserved to, you know, get some people to really listen to it, to see, you know, where we're coming from. And we thought the product was really good. So we then started promoting and pushing the record on Smooth Jazz Radio. We were picking up more and more stations along the line. I think we got into like the top 20 on the chart, and we were then approached by a New Groove to actually get a record deal.
Oh, okay.
So it wasn't so that I put out a record and they put it out. No, I didn't. It wasn't quite like that, you know.
Okay. And this is a very nice CD. I love the CD. And I had a question going in. I was listening to one of the tracks, Sunday Jazz. Who is the young lady that's singing on that?
That's a song that was written by three people, actually, myself, D. Brown. Audra Bryant is the lead singer on that. Desi McCullers Jr. is the wonderful sax lines that you hear in the background, and Gerald Mitchell, who wrote and produced the project and that song, yeah.
Oh, wow, okay. And for those of you guys out there that don't know, like I said, Desi McCullers Jr., his sister is Althea Renee, which is the flutist.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Desi McCullers Jr. is the brother to Althea Renee. Desi McCullers Jr. is also the son of Desi McCullers Sr., who was one of the original funk brothers here in Detroit, who did all the horn arrangements and the horn backgrounds for all the hits that were done in Motown.
Yes. Okay. Wow. Great.
All right.
Now, also got his brother on there. His brother's named Frank McCullers.
Okay.
So they come from a family of woodwinds. I guess if you want to call a flute a woodwind, I'm not sure. Am I using it right, Ollie? Because I just want to make sure I'm saying the right thing. Okay,
oh, yeah,
but they're
right.
They're wind instruments. So yeah, they come from that family, and all the musicians are just awesome. I mean, they're all solo artists by their own right, and I was so happy and gracious that they lent their talents to do the project that we did.
All right. Well, it is a very nice CD. It's called the one Michael's referring to is called No Time to Waste, which was his first CD. And his current CD is called A Little Elbow Room, and we're going to be playing some music from that one in a little bit here. But I wanted to ask you, Dee, you play the guitar, and you know the saxophone is the most. It seems to be the most played instrument, the most popular instrument when it comes to jazz. So was the guitar always your first choice?
You know, that's a real good question. That is a great question. But I'll tell you, I want to try to make this long story short. Basically, my father, who passed away May 2nd, 2009, he was my inspiration. He was a jazz lover. He loved music from the bebop era. I mean, bebop, jazz era. I mean, he listened to the greats, you know, like Herbie Hancock, Miles Davis, Charles Mingus, Gerald Wilson, and players from that era. So I heard mm-hmm. that music a lot. Most of the players that I heard that he played, that played the music that he really loved were horn players. You know, and I heard horn player after horn player after horn player, Charlie Parker, Cannonball Adderley, and people who were way up there like that. But then one time, I believe I was probably around 2 years old, I heard an instrument that sounded odd. And I said, Dad, what instrument is that? And he says, Son, that's a guitar. And I told him at the age of two, that's the instrument I want to play. Mm. Now, the guitar player that I heard was a gentleman by the name of Wes Montgomery.
Mm.
So
okay.
When I heard that, it really attracted me a lot. But, you know, for the most part, I love music so much as a child, especially when I heard it live. So hearing live music right in front of me was something that I really craved. I really wanted to hear it live. And the guitar became my instrument because, like I said, once I heard Wes Montgomery, and then I was introduced to, you know, a lot of guitar players from Detroit like Grant Green, and you know, more guitar players like Les Paul and you know, then it went into Django Reinhardt and Charlie Christian. I mean, all the guys who kind of built the groundwork for the guitar as far as in jazz. And then I was introduced to Mr. George Benson, which really solidified my quest in trying to, you know, have a style similar to that. And when I say similar, it's mainly the guitar that he plays and the cleanness that he plays with. And that's really what really kind of drove me right there.
Okay. And now I read that your father's nickname was Sonny, and that
you,
there's a song on the CD for in tribute to him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
by the same name.
Right. The song Sonny was, you know, as I was recording the project, I had completed three songs, and me and my dad would always sit down and we would talk about jazz music. And I mean, you know, when I talked to him, it was such a, you know, he was at such a high level. You know, it's like, you know, he has all this knowledge. He knows all these players. He knows all this music, and he knows what he loves, and what he loves is usually really good. So he was my biggest critic. So we sat down and we listened to three songs that I had kind of roughly finished at the time, and we listened to all three of the songs. He said, "Son, you know, I really like those songs, but that second song, that's your hit." So that was the song Sonny. I decided to go ahead and you know, dedicate that song to him, and then eventually the whole CD project was dedicated to him.
Oh, okay. Well, let's take a listen to Sonny.
Okay.
That was Sonny from A Little Elbow Room by guitarist D. Brown. Very nice. I have a chat room, D, and I wanted to let you know that one of the we have a young artist in the chat room. His name is Antoine Smith. He plays keyboards, but he commented that he loves the way you play. You are a friend of his on MySpace, and he listens to your music all the time. He considers you a great artist.
Oh, thanks. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. That song, Sunny, was actually produced by a gentleman by the name of Chip Dixon, who I told you about earlier. Chip Dixon also played those wonderful keyboard lines behind where we do the ensemble, where we play the lines together. And that's kind of like a signature of the things I like to do. I really like the ensemble with, like, the sax and whatever other instrument is playing, and which is usually either the sax or the keyboard.
Okay. All right. Oddly.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you about managing D. And how did you, first of all, how did you two meet?
Well, you know, we've been in contact with each other, I was going to say, for maybe about the past year or so, or maybe just a little bit longer. And we've got a mutual friend. As a matter of fact, Bridget is her name, and that's Dee's publicist.
Mm-hmm.
So one day I got a call from Bridget, and it says, you know, we've been having some discussions behind your back a little bit, and it says, well, we think that you'd be a match to manage D. And I said, really? I was really quite surprised and pleased all at the same time. You know, D is one of those unique musicians that not only has studied the craft of being a good musician, but, you know, just listen to his playing, you can just tell the delivery, the style, you know, that he's put in the time. And I think as any artist, whether you're, you know, just learning piano, flute, whatever, you know, you got to put in the time in your craft just like anything else in order for you to have an opportunity to get to that next level. And over the course of time, just listening to his playing, is really fantastic player. But I think the most unique thing about D is that I really believe musicians, the way they play and the ease and the smoothness of their music really translates into their personality. Mm-hmm. And just as D plays, his personality, his in-person persona, is just fantastic. So that makes it pretty easy.
Okay. And what are the challenges of you managing D in another state?
Well, you know, we live in the age of electronics, you know, and, you know, you just get on the phone, you just get on the Internet. I mean, you know, trying to get D booked, it doesn't make any difference where you live. You know, you still got to make the phone calls. You still got to reach out. And, you know, D helps out tremendously. He's always on the net scouring, sending me information, vice versa. So it really doesn't make any difference where you live, you know, except that it's good that we live in the United States because we're just time zones apart rather than different countries. But it's still the same principle. You got to get out there, make the calls, and reach the people.
Okay. All right. And then how often do you guys meet up? To, you know, when he's performing.
Well, you know, when D is working, we always coordinate that out. I don't go to all of D's gigs. You know, that's the other thing that I would like to say too, especially when you're dealing with an artist who's got some maturity and has been out there, you know, and understands the business. I'm kind of lucky in the sense that I don't have to make all the gigs that D performs at. You know, he takes care of himself pretty well. I just make sure that the business is taken care of at hand, up front, before he gets there, so he doesn't have to deal with those challenges. And his only, you know, function when he gets to the gig is to do what he does. And that's
what he does. Okay.
I like that. Now, Dee, I wanted to ask you, going back, you've been in a lot of groups. You know, now, can you tell us a little bit about the groups that you've been with in the past and, you know, how they helped you to where you are now?
Okay, well, I mean, I could go through a few of them. Some of the groups that actually done recordings. Let me see. Let me go back to I believe in the bio the group we mentioned was Foreplay. Foreplay was a group that I actually had back in the high school days, and we attracted the attention of Mr. Quincy Jones. That group was more or less a vocal kind of instrumental group. So I played guitar, but I did a lot of singing too. So it was a lot of dancing and things like that. So after that, I formed a group called One Wish. One Wish was a vocal group that was very similar to Boys to Men, that sort of thing, Jodeci. So we had like it started out with four men, but then it eventually went to three men. And we did like a lot of songs that were talking about, you know, relationships and that sort of thing. put out a record. The tune was called, let me think of the song, let me think what it was called, Tell Me Why. And the song was in the top 100 in R&B and in country. And I don't know how it got in the country, but it was in the top 100 in country, which is kind of weird. But it was cool, you know. And then eventually I collaborated with a gentleman by the name of Gentry Shelby, and we formed a group called Shelby Brown, which is our two last names. And we put out a record called Miracle on TEG Records. And after that, we both decided to go solo, and here we are with the first CD, which was No Time to Waste, and now we're at the CD right now, which is A Little Elbow Room by D. Brown.
Okay, let me ask you about Quincy Jones, because I read that he had offered you guys a record label, but you declined.
Yeah, what actually happened was, I didn't actually decline. What happened was the group had a special image that they were trying to portray. Okay,
mm-hmm.
I did all the recording with the group. We recorded all the songs and everything together, and what he heard, he liked. But the group had a specific image that they wanted to reflect, and I was not reflecting the image that they wanted, so it wasn't fitting for me to be in the group at that time.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yes.
All right. And what is sight singing?
Oh, sight singing has to do with it's similar to being a musician where, as you know, on like the horn or any instrument, every note that you push down is a specific note. The voice is such a versatile instrument that it can hit notes that don't even exist, that are in between the notes that we can't play on our instruments. So sight singing has to do with the voice being an instrument and looking at the music and reading it as a musician would play it, like a melody. That's what sight singing is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. You've probably seen like those groups and they have this like a little horn and they give you like that first note. You know, you've probably seen
mm-hmm.
people do that. It's similar to that because you need the first note because, like I said, the voice, it can do any note. So you need to know where to start, and now you can go ahead and play and sing or play.
Okay,
you know?
Okay.
Yeah, you need that first note to tell you, okay, that's an A. Okay, I know where I'm at now.
Got it. I see. All right.
Yes.
All right. I want to play True Reality. I think this is one of the songs that Darren Ron is on.
Right. True Reality is the first single off the Elbow Room CD. This song was written by Desmond McCullers Jr., D. Brown, and also Nate Harrison. Nate Harrison produced it, and Darren Rons played the sax on it. And this is the new single by D. Brown entitled True Reality.
Ooh, I love that. True reality. Very nice. Wow.
Well, thank you so much. I forgot to mention that there is my bass player that's playing on there, Mr. Dave the Painter Henderson. He's playing the bass on that. And Frank Selman, who is from Colorado, I believe. Yep. And he's playing the rhythm guitar back there.
Oh, all right. I have a phone call. Area code 520. Welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Oh, I guess that would be me. I'm Desi McCullers,
yes.
Jr.
Oh, well, hello.
Sitting back.
Your ears must have been burning.
Oh, I tell you. That sounds wonderful. He really did a tremendous job on that song. This is wonderful to hear others interpret your ideas.
Well, thank you so much for calling in.
Well, you know, I got to support D. D is a phenomenal guitarist, and I'm very very honored to have had the opportunity to work with him.
Desi, same to you, man. Yeah, thanks for calling in, man. Great to hear from you, man. And of course, man, you know your talents. I just could not have done it without you, man. You know you're my man.
Well, you could have done it.
Well, you guys put together a great CD. I love it. I think it's a very I think it's a very mellow, very laid back CD, very easy listen, you know, easy to listen to, driving music CD. It's a really, really good CD.
Well, I'm glad it sounds like that, because it was a struggle. Yeah, we had to do quite a bit of brainstorming come up with, you know, the cohesive sound that you're hearing. Matter of fact, I think I had to leave the studio and go outside and have a cigarette.
that's spoken by a man who do most of his songs in one take. I mean, come on now.
Oh, this is the one take guy. Okay.
That's Mr. One Take himself, man. One take. Oh, that's it, D. Oh, that's it, D. Go ahead. You're done. I like it.
Well, you know, I mean, you remember that first on the first CD, I think you had me do something like 52 takes on one song. A certain thing you were looking for. And these engineers, I'm going to tell you, he takes off his musician's hat and he puts on that engineer's hat, and he can really be irritating.
Oh, thanks, Jesse. I can only tell you.
So does that mean that D is a perfectionist? Are you a perfectionist, D?
What do you think, Desi? Go ahead.
Yes,
you
are.
Oh, man, I never really thought of it that way, but, you know, sometimes I can get really, you know, strictly on some of the things that I really think I want to hear, and I'm trying to pull out the musicians that are, you know, supporting the project or the product or the song.
Mm-hmm. Well, it shows in the final result there, you know, that those extra steps that you were taking that maybe I don't get as a creative musician pay off when you hear the final product. And it is very tedious. You know, I never realized how much really goes into it. You know, you're a performer, you just go on stage and you play, and whatever comes out, and it goes off into the atmosphere and it's done, you know. But in the studio, it's for all time. So that attention to detail pays off in the final result.
Mm. All right. Well, it is a wonderful CD, and I think you guys did a great collaboration together. It's really good.
Oh, thank you so much. And Desi is the horn player that played all the horn parts on the very first CD, which is No Time to Waste. And we actually were introduced by a gentleman by the name of Venturi Gaddis, and I was really looking for a sax player just to play some lines, you know, somebody could just play a little bit. And then this guy comes down, and, you know, he's got his glasses on like he's real cool. I mean, I am just really cool. You remember that day, Desi?
Well, you should tell him. Well, maybe I shouldn't go into that.
Okay, I won't say anything. But he had the glasses on. He pulled out his horn.
I'll tell the story because it's kind of funny, actually.
What's that?
Well, the fact that, you know, my horn was in such disrepair until I had to stop playing to put a rubber band on it to make sure it would open it.
Oh, my gosh.
D hung in there, and he you know, he never complained or anything. He just gave me the time I needed to do what I needed to do.
That's because you were wonderful at what it was you were doing. I didn't want to stop you. I just wanted you to keep going. I mean, everything came out was, you know, could fit. So, I mean, you were just a whiz at just coming up with line after line after line after line, and that just made it so much easier.
Okay, I want to know where you put the rubber band. Was it to hold the reed on?
Ooh.
How do you? Were you trying to hold the reed on the saxophone?
No. What it is the horn has springs that open and close the keys, right?
Okay.
And sometimes those springs break down, and they break down in the oddest time, you know, right when you're in the middle of something, it'll just go out, and the key will stay open, and you have this wild note, and, you know, you have to do something about it right then. So over the years, you just have this repair kit. And you just, you know, rubber bands and glue and stuff to make sure when a pad drops out, you can repair it on the spot, you know. So you get to know how to work your instrument, you know. But I have something to tell you, Dee.
Oh, what's that?
You know I'm working here in Phoenix tonight at Bobby C's.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You did tell me about that.
Right? Mm-hmm. And your idol is going to be there tonight.
Oh, man.
Who is that?
George Benson. George Benson himself.
Oh, wow.
I got confirmation on that, that he is coming. The great man is coming.
Oh, man.
So you
I
think I'm
that.
Not nervous.
My goodness.
Desi, you have no reason to be nervous. There's no reason. But, man, I wish I could be there, man. I just want you to have a great show, man, and, you know, give it all you got, man, which you do all the time, man.
Well, you know, we do what we do.
Wow. Desi, if you can hold on for one moment, I have another phone call I want to take. Area code 310, welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Hey, how you doing? I just wanted to mention that I like really, really like Dee Brown's music, and that's all I wanted to say.
Okay, what's your name?
My name's Philip.
Philip. All right, well, thank you, Philip.
Now,
right,
Philip, what city are you in?
Long Beach.
Long Beach? Oh, man. Well, hey, man, thank you so much for, you know, supporting the smooth jazz, man, and loving the music, man. And, you know, hopefully we'll have more songs and more CDs to come out.
All right. I'll be looking forward to it, then.
All right, now.
All right. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, Philip. All right. Well, Desi, any other, you know, tidbits you can share with us about Dee?
Well, there are some I could share, but I think I will.
Oh, come on, man. okay, man. Tell them, you know, my hospitality. Okay, how's that?
You say what? What?
Hospitality.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, he's very open, and he allows you really a lot of room for expression within his project, which is a very unusual thing for musicians that are putting a project together to step out there for the first, second, or third time with Dee. Dee is the third time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he really knows how to bring the best out of you. That's one thing I really grew during that project. Tremendously, and my confidence level has grown as a offshoot of that. Working with him, it has made a tremendous difference. And so I'm very pleased that he's getting the attention now that he deserves. It is a great CD.
All right,
thanks, Desi. Really, thank you.
That's great. And I wanted to let you know, too, that Audley is on the phone as well, so we don't want to forget about Audley, but he's on the phone. But thank you so much, Desi, for calling in. It's a great surprise. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you for allowing me to call in. And Dee, you have a great interview, and I'll talk to you soon, brother.
All right, man. Break a leg at the show, man. Do your thing.
All right.
Yeah.
Take care.
You'll be fine. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah. Ray, Desi McCullough Jr. That's awesome.
Yes. Now, Ollie, real fast, Ollie, I'm going to get to you real fast on a question. How is it you are a saxophonist yourself? Now, being a manager and a musician, how do you balance the two, you know?
Well, it's not really difficult. Dee and I would sit down, we'd go through scheduling, and I know that I need to be certain places for Dee, and I handle my schedule separately. And, you know, it works.
Okay.
All right. Okay, let's listen to another song from the CD. Dee, you have a favorite?
My favorite song is actually Believe It Can, but I really think that we should play the title cut. And the reason I say that is because it's called it's a little elbow room. It's a title cut. And this really exemplifies what I was talking about, the guitar and sax ensemble playing together. And when Desi talked about tedious, he talked about, you know, me being strictly in the studio, you will hear us playing lines together, which, you know, any musician would know to get lines to play together, you know, it takes time. So, and I think it's a really good song. It's a song that's written by myself, Desi, and also produced by Valdez Brantley.
Okay. This is A Little Elbow Room. All right, A Little Elbow Room, title track from Dee's new CD, A Little Elbow Room. Another comment from Antoine Smith. His music is so clear and great. He loves it.
That's great. Now that song, A Little Elbow Room, I wanted to add that the bass player that's playing on there is a guy named Curran Bradley. Curran Bradley is the brother, of course, of Valdez Bradley. And Curran, at one time, played for the birthday boy from yesterday, Mr. Grover Washington Jr. Grover Washington Jr., yeah. And so he played bass on that, and it was lots of fun, as Desi would say, to work on that. So.
Okay. Well, I have another phone call, area code 317. Welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Hello?
Hi, how are you?
Hi, my name is Linda, and I seen a post on Facebook, and it really sound good. I really enjoyed it.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh. So meet the artist, Dee Brown.
Hi.
Hello, how you doing?
Hello?
What's your name? Hello.
Linda, hello.
Linda, how you doing?
Okay, yeah, it sound real good. I seen a post on Facebook, and I really enjoyed it. I'm going to have to go pick up the CD.
You know, I really wanted to, you know, let everyone know that, you know, this music is available to be purchased. And, you know, I want to encourage, you know, the listeners out there who love smooth jazz and love this type of music to go out and support the artist.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not necessarily mine, but if you do like it or if you do love it,
mm-hmm.
I think you really should. Because if we don't support the new artists that are out, we're going to always have old artists. So
we want to
bring in some new artists. We want people to continually do this kind of music, which is really expression of your inner feelings.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yes.
So I just want to encourage everyone, just go ahead out there and pick up several copies and give them out as gifts. It is Christmas time.
All right. Thanks for talking.
Nice talking to you.
Nice meeting you, too.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. All right. Yeah, that's right. Support the artists. Go on and
that's
get the
right.
music.
Yeah.
Go to the website. And do you tell them your website?
Okay, I have a website that's actually in construction right now, but you can go there, you can listen to the CD, and if you're ready to order, you can also order. My website is www.deebrownmusic.com. And the website should be fully operational sometime about mid next week, but you know it is a national release. I mean, the song is released, you know, all over the world. So any website that sells music, if you type in Dee Brown, A Little Elbow Room, you should find it, and you'll have a chance to hear the whole CD too and sample it.
Okay.
Cool.
Now, I wanted to ask you, man. Like I said, you know, talk our show. We're not the conventional, you know, interview show. You know, we don't just go into the music and all that kind of stuff. We go into some more personal stuff. So now I got to ask you, man, you love bowling.
Huh?
Now, you said you love bowling?
Yes, bowling, yes, bowling.
Yes. Bowling, yes, yes. Now, you said you got an average of 202?
Yes, I used to have an average of 202. To be honest with you, here is a story that I never told anybody. This is for you guys exclusively. And since you brought up bowling, back in high school days, and I think I started bowling when I was probably, I'm going to think, probably about 9 or 10 years old. I started bowling real early, and what happened was I bowled and bowled and bowled and bowled. At one time, I discovered that you could bowl and you could win money. Okay, they call it they call it gambling, or they call it jackpot, and I think that's the name for it. That's what they call it. So what happened was during the high school days, I would spend my whole day, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at the bowling alley. And since I really didn't have a job, I would borrow money from my sister and my mother and my father, and I would take the money and I would go bowling all day. And my quest was to try to raise money. Now, it was a very specific reason why I wanted to raise money. I first of all, I thought I was good. Second of all, I had a guitar that was in the layaway. And I had a top-name guitar at the time. And I'm going to tell you, the name of the guitar was a George Benson Ibanez guitar. So it was very, very expensive, and that was really my quest. My quest was to try to get that, you know, that guitar out. And every week I thought that, okay, I'm going to get, you know, $100 here, $200 here, $300, $400 here until I raise enough money to get it. But bowling was my avenue of actually getting my first real good guitar.
Wow.
Yeah.
And wait till George Benson hears that story.
You know something? He'll probably chuckle at that if he heard that. One thing about George Benson and myself, I'm going to be honest. I don't know George. Desi knows George, and he's worked with George, and he actually put George on the phone, and we actually had a chance to talk. But George doesn't know this, but his birthday and my birthday day, March 22nd, are the same.
Wow.
That's kind of, that kind of links us together some kind of way.
Yeah.
I don't know which way, but yeah.
Oh, wow.
Well, eventually you're going to meet George, and you're going to have to tell him that story. That's a
great
story.
Yeah, yeah. I definitely look forward to it, and I told Desi next time I come out to Phoenix, maybe we can hang out with George, because I hear he has a very good rapport with him.
Oh, okay. Well, okay, tell us what you what's coming up for you in terms of projects, performances.
Well, right now, you know, it's the Christmas season, and I guess I should let you know that New Groove, which is the record label I'm with, they released a Christmas CD, and I have a song on there called Hark the Herald Angel Sings. It's probably the funkiest version of that you've ever heard, you know. And right now, we're doing a lot of promoting of the single, and we're getting ready, to go into the, the summer, spring concert and festival season. Maybe Audley can give you a little bit more information on that one.
Okay, Mr. Audley.
I get a chance to speak. I love you. I'm good. Go ahead, D. So, right now we're focusing on a lot of the festivals coming up, and the record is being received really, really well. So we're trying to work those markets where D is getting substantial airplay in and just some really good exposure. So we're, things will be filling in very, very shortly. We've got some good things out there happening right now that we haven't put the dotted line on. But, as well as anything in this business, even once you sign the dotted line, it's really, really not secure until the check clears.
Right.
Okay.
That's
all right. And I want to also let the listeners know that Audley is a musician himself. He plays saxophone. And he has a CD out. What is the name of your current CD?
A Plays E.
A Plays E. So you can check him out on his website, Audley, A-U-D-L-E-Y, Reed, R-E-I-D.com. And check him out as well.
And Audley is a fine saxophone player. He rarely talks about it to me, but he is a fine saxophone. I've heard his songs, and, I think he's very good. Very good. So, yeah, you guys go ahead and check him out.
Yeah, I agree.
Definitely.
Well,
all right.
Now, Dee, I want to ask you about your theory on the smooth jazz listener and tell the listeners what you believe the theory is about the smooth jazz listeners.
Wow, that's pretty interesting. Okay, now this is what I think. This is something that I thought about for a long time. And matter of fact, this is what actually I was thinking about when I recorded the very first CD. I was trying to figure out who my audience was and what they might like. And there was a couple things that came to my mind. The most popular instruments in smooth jazz were vocals, sax, and guitar. So my quest was to try to get all three of those instruments to play together. The number two was that I believe that the smooth jazz listener really likes R&B, really likes vocals, really likes vocal music, okay? But because of the music today, the message is not right. They don't like the message that's delivered, when they're calling people out of names and all that kind of stuff and not really talking to women as they're, something that I love, more or less an object. So they're probably back into the days with, like Jodeci and Boyz II Men when they talked about, having a female or a woman, a friend, a wife, and being good to her and she being good to you. So that message was kind of obscure, in the recent years. So I think that the smooth jazz listener is a person who really wants to say, I like jazz, okay? But jazz from the real jazz creators like, Cannonball Adderley and Miles Davis, you put that song on and they wouldn't know what you're talking about. They were like, could you please take it off? So they want something simple. They want something that's more like someone singing, okay? So what I decided to do was to target that person who says that they like instrumental music, says that they like jazz, but really know that they really like vocals. So what I did on the very first CD, and a little bit on this one, was play my instrument more like I was singing as opposed to playing it like I'm a musician. That was my
goal. Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting. Wow. That's wonderful. Yeah. I've never heard it put like that before.
Yeah.
And, of course, I just want to let you know that that was just my theory. That was how I was thinking when I was creating the first project.
Okay. All right. Well, oddly, is there anything else you'd like to share with us? We have 8 minutes left, so I want to get you in there too.
Well, you know, the only thing that I have to say is just keep your ear out for D. Brown. You know, you'll definitely be hearing from him as time progresses later on this summer and into the winter season. And, you know, I expect that D's going to be doing some big things. You know, like I say, he's a fantastic musician, fantastic human being, a great perspective on life. So that makes it easy. So we're going to be working real hard, and hopefully we'll be able to come back and visit with you again on the show. And, you know, it was just great being here with you today.
And what about yourself? Will you be putting out any new music?
We're working on some stuff now that'll be out March of next year.
Okay.
Let's do that. Yeah. My focus right now is to make sure we get D happening out there, and we've got a couple of things that are going to be set. Hopefully, once we can work some things out, that we'll probably be playing together on the same set. It'll be a little different. But, you know, he's got a great band with him. And, you know, all the guys play very, very well, and a very likable group of musicians and human beings. So, you know, like I say, my dual role, per se, you know, from being on one side as performer and being on another side as being the manager, is really probably a little bit unique in the sense that I'm also a performing artist. But, you know, there's a guy here that has got some serious talent, some serious playing abilities that, you know, I'm just honored to be able to help him in any way, you know, that I can to get his music out to the masses.
Okay. All right. Well, we appreciate that. Dee, congratulations on the CD. And continued success to you. And thank you, you and Ali both, for the opportunity to talk to you. It's been a fun show, and I really appreciate you guys coming on.
Yeah, thank you. And Dee, and also I want to say, give a big up to your publicist, Bridget. I said she's been posting all over Facebook about you being on the show today. So,
yeah,
Bridget.
Bridget Barnett, she's my publicist from the Barnett Group. She is the most wonderful publicist in the world, and I really mean that. You know, so I want to give a shout out to her, you know, and thank all the listeners out there, and also continue to encourage them to, you know, check out the CD and really support the artists that you love, because without support from those people who love the music, you know, we can no longer exist.
That's right.
That's true. So true. So true. All right.
Yeah, the other thing I'd like to add about Bridget, too, is that at 3 o'clock in the morning, she's sending emails.
Oh, man. Oh, she on her J-O-B, huh?
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, she's figured it out that, I can send them an email at 2 or 3 in the morning because I know they'll just be getting in checking their mail. So it's all good.
Wow. Well, you guys have a great day. Again, thank you so much for coming on, and Dee, for sharing your music with us. Thank you so much. Oddly, we look forward to talking to you when your new CD hits in March. I'll definitely be keeping in contact with you about that.
All right. Thank you.
All right.
Terry, it's truly been a pleasure on your show, and I really, really thank you for this opportunity. And, you know, many blessings to you.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you. Mike and I love doing this show, so thank you very much.
All right,
you guys have a great day.
All right. Bye now. Thank you.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
All right. Bye-bye. All right. That was Dee Brown and his manager, Audley Reed. Dee's new CD is called A Little Elbow Room. You can pick it up on his website, dbrownmusic.com. And check out Audley's music as well. Saxophonist. His CD is A Plays E. So like he said, he's working on some new music in March, and hopefully we can get him back on and talk about that. Wow, this is great. Thanks for the callers. Desi McCullers, Junior, thank you so much for calling in. That was a nice surprise. I really enjoyed that. And thanks for Linda. Thanks to Linda for calling in as well. All right, Mike, you have anything to add?
Just that, everybody, like I said, happy holidays. There'll be a lot of holiday parties coming up. I know a lot of jazz musicians are having a lot of holiday, you know, concerts coming up. I know yesterday we had a concert out here in Bowie with Greg Karukas out here at the Bowie Performing Arts Center and everything. And like I said, this upcoming week there'll be another show in Virginia at the Carlisle Club with your buddy Robert Smoot and Brinkle Entertainment. They're going to have a holiday show with Shane and a young drummer named Redfoots, Dirk Redfoots. So he's very good, and you say, I'm going to be, you know, checking out a lot of holiday parties this upcoming week. So that's it. Just have a good Christmas, good holiday coming up.
All right. Next week we have Najee on next Saturday, along with a special guest co-host, his number one fan, Cheryl Boone. She will be calling in as well and sitting in with us. So that's going to be fun. We're looking forward to that. I want to thank, again, Dee Brown, Ollie Reed, Linda for calling in, Desi McCullers Jr. for calling in, and a big, big thank you to Bridget Barnett. She was very helpful in getting us Dee scheduled. So thank you very much, Bridget, for that. I appreciate that. All right. I have a – let me take this call. I don't know if this is the same. Area code 312? Okay. All right. So that is our show for today. You have been listening to Talking Smooth Jazz on blogtalkradio.com with your host, the Jazz Queen.
And Mike Reynolds.
And we look forward to talking smooth jazz with you next week with Najee. Everyone have a great day. Thank you, those in the chat room. Antoine Smith, Miss Quiet Storm, Miss Kirksey, thank you all for tuning into the show today. I appreciate it. All right, everyone, have a great day.